Like a flock of homesick cranes, flying night and day back to their mountain nests, let all my life take its voyage to its eternal home in one salutation to thee, beloved Master Svaha. Reading these last verses of the Gitanjali, I started meditating on death. It would be so beautiful if you could say something about it. In love and profound gratitude, Jasleen. Like a flock of homesick cranes, flying night and day back to their mountain nests, let all my life take its voyage to its eternal home in one salutation to die. That is the beauty of the Indian heart and the human heart. That is the salutation. And this verses in the Gitanjali from Rabindranath Tagore, which I talked about before, and he had some beautiful insights. He even got the Nobel Prize in literature and poems. And it opens the Europeans and the whole Western world up to this beautiful, heartfelt way of writing that they have in the East, and more specific in India. And the British had India at that time. They occupied it. And they thought they were very civilized. And they had no idea what the depth the Indian heart and soul had. They were like barbarians compared to the Indians. And this Rabindranath, he really did something beautiful. He introduced that beauty that Europe had no idea of. And that is how that, you say, this is the last verses of the Gitanjali. This is how that should be. This is how leaving this world should be. Hungry to come home. Hungry for that eternal home. Like a flock of homesick cranes flying night and day. Back to the mountain nest. And birds are very mysterious. How can they fly so far? How can they fly so high? They even fly over Mount Everest. In the summer they go to Tibet. Some special cranes and swans. And they stay at the big lakes there. And when winter comes, they fly back to India. Let all my life take its voyage to its eternal home in one salutation to die. That's all. Let the whole life becomes one salutation, one gesture of gratitude. That is surrendering. That is totality. Everything comes into one. That's what I'm talking about when I say totality. You don't spread your life all over into so many things. You become focused. And that only wisdom can do. Only seeing can do, only understanding can do, only love can do. You are not spread out. You become centered. You see what is important. Then you become a flame. And only then do you have something to offer. It's your whole totality. That is the true salutation. That is the true surrender. Reading these last verses of the Gitanjali, I started meditating on that. It would be so beautiful if you could say something about it. And Jasleen, you said you were just longing for silence. Everybody is longing for silence, for peace, for happiness, for love. But they have so many other things in their life that they never find it. If you become focused, and that is what wisdom, maturity is, then you know this is it. Then your whole life becomes focused into what is important. And that should be the most important, to find peace, to come back, to come home, to have rest. So, everybody here in this world have had birth. That's how you are here. But most people, they don't use this opportunity of birth. Everybody who is born will die. But very few people realize even that they are born. They take it for granted. Very few people getting conscious that they are going to die. Everybody else dies, but you don't die. But everybody who's here will die. Everything that is born will die. So they say in between these two, birth, being born, and death, there is love. That is the door to the mysteries. How can you surrender to God? Very difficult. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Where is this God? You have only your senses. You can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't touch him. How can you surrender? It becomes a mental thing, a dream. So in India and in the East, they said that is what the Guru is for. He gives you proof for that. So surrendering to the Master is a training to surrender to God. Existence have given you that physical, the Guru, because you can see that which you can't see. And learning about meditation, love, silence, these are all like that. Because what is meditation? Is to find out who you are. To go so deep that you're coming back to your source. Not identified with your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body. Just your consciousness. That is the whole effort for meditation. It's a way to come back. This is very difficult if you don't have any understanding, if you don't have a surrender in your heart, if you don't have love. That's where the master comes in the picture. He creates that atmosphere. So meditation becomes very easy because you have peace, you have trust, you have love in your heart. Then you can allow yourself to go beyond your normal way of thinking, your normal identification. It is an invitation to go beyond yourself as a little self, to come back to your real self. So meditation is a way of dying. That's what all the mystics says, die before you die. If this is dying, let me die 1,000 times, says Kabir. But that is after he has surrendered. Not before, then everybody is afraid. And going beyond the physical, which is the invitation, is to go into the mystery. You have to have courage, you have to have understanding, you have to have a longing. Whole life can be spent in just mundane things, without thinking about what is essential, what is real. That's why people are very shallow. That's why this whole world is very shallow. There's no depth. Because humans have lost their depth. They are very shallow. They're just on the surface. And that is very deep. Everything that is real is deep. Everything that is real is profound. Everything that is real will shatter that which is unreal. That is what the master is doing. He shatters your illusions, what you think is real. And if you want to protect that, you have to escape. Otherwise, you have to transform. There's nothing in between. Either hiding or opening. So everybody is born, everybody will die, but not everybody finds love. Not everybody finds meditation. Then how can they reach the mysterious? And not an ordinary love that you know as love. No, real love is also a death because you melt. If people really love each other, real lovers, they disappear. In the love, they can disappear, they can melt. Then they get a glimpse of how it is when they are not there. That is what love is. But that is almost forgotten also because people don't have trust. This can only happen when you have trust, when you are open, when you are conscious. And in the same in meditation, because fear will be there, you lose yourself, because you go beyond your physical, you go beyond your mind, then there will be fear. You come a point where you disappear. Then if you don't have trust, if you don't have love, if you don't have a master, it's very difficult. You will pull back. Going beyond that and realizing that not only that is blissful, but it's far out. And getting established in that, nothing can shake it. Because you have come to that that is real. Something that is not born and doesn't die. That is self-realization. Then where is the fear of death? What is dying? The physical body is dying. So fear of that which everybody has is because they are only identified with the physical. They haven't gone beyond. They haven't seen anything that is beyond the physical, the form, the name. So the deeper you go, the more freedom, the more peace. And then instead of fear, it will be deep joy, acceptance. Because you are not resisting anything, you are in tune. You came and you go. So what? Coming or going, I'm always at home. So you have different deaths. In life, and only that can prepare you for leaving, because then you are in the flow, you are not resisting anything, you are at ease. So any fear means that you have forgotten that you have no control anyway. There's no point to resist. Resist what? Who are you? All conflict comes when you are an outsider. If you are in the river of existence, in the Dhamma, in God, in peace, what is there to be afraid of? Only when you are not in tune. Only when you only know that which live, get born and dies. Then there is fear, of course. So you say, reading these last verses of the Gitanjali, I started meditating on that. Every real sannyasin should meditate on that. And that comes naturally at one point. Like this journey has many different stages. Because this meditation on that is almost bound to come, because you are coming closer to what is essential. That's what I'm teaching you here. Who am I? Who is in? What is that? All to go beyond the mind that has fear, that doesn't know. Your knowing has to come from another place. You can't read about it. You have to experience it. You have to melt into it. You have to be absorbed into it. And it's such a mystery that you can't really talk about it either. But the more silence, the more love, the more trust you have, these things get realized by oneself. And that's the only thing that is anything worth, when you realize it yourself. All the traditions had meditations on that. And it's great meditations because you see, for example, seeing your body get burned. Like in India, they burn the bodies. So then you visualize your body getting burned. You have even people, different sects of yogis, of tantrikas, they went to sleep in the graveyard, no? They live in the graveyard in one point of the journey. And why? It looks totally crazy. Because why not? They have to face their fear of dying. They want to consciously face it. That they sleep in the graveyard. This is ordinary human beings, they are afraid of the graveyard. They go big circle around the graveyard. But some people, some sannyasins, some yogis, some tantrikas, they go there. They seek that which brings them fear because they want to go beyond it. So anything that they are afraid, they will seek out. So that's why everybody is afraid of that, but nobody is facing it. So facing it totally, you will go beyond it. And that's what meditation is. That is what surrender is. But then you have to be very clear about this is what is important. You cannot be wishy-washy with so many things, and then meditation comes sometimes down the line. God comes later, after you've done your shopping. No, you have to be very ready. You have to be available. That is what I mean by totality, by being centered, by being single, focused. How can you hit the target if you're not focused? You don't look, I want to hit the target, and then you shoot that way. How will you think you can hit it? You have to be steady. So this meditating on that is very good because it will put you in the right focus. When people are dying, then everybody, every family is then woken up. It becomes real. Life becomes real in dying because it takes away all the unnecessary things. When people are on the deathbed, then whatever happened, the whole life, all the arguing, all the problems, all the projections, all the bullshit is meaningless. Then everybody wants to say what is really important. They want to do that gesture that is important. And what is the most important? Truth, love, silence, salutations to die. That is what is important. And that's what the Master wants to teach you, to be direct, to be truthful. To become silence, to become real. So it's very difficult to surrender to God in that way. But the Master is if the surrender is real, it means that he dies in the master. And in that surrender, in that death, there is a relief. Because the past is gone, all the conflict is gone. It's like you're dying. If you have a very sick body, there is a relief. Because now you are freed of your body. Your body that was so painful, so full of cancer, so old. That is understanding. Then there is joy. If there is no understanding, no depth in that human being, then they will cling to even to that sick, spent body, they will cling. That's what ordinary people are doing. Then fear. And because of they cling, they don't go. They just become like ghosts. They have left, but they are still there. That is very ordinary. The higher you are, the more freely you go. Free in life, you free in death. You go on. Like a flock of homesick cranes flying night and day back to their mountain nest. Such a beautiful, it's amazing, you know. That's the thing. When you are connected, and this Rabindranath, he had insights just like a Rumi or a Hafiz, but it was just insight. He wasn't enlightened, but when he wrote this, it was like enlightened. Like Kahil Gibran. He wasn't enlightened, but he had this insight that came from the beyond. Then you write this beautiful thing. Huh? It's so nice. Homesick cranes flying night and day. Huh? Homesick cranes. Can you imagine? Those homesick cranes flying night and day, they are struggling over the mountain passes to their mountain nest. All the beautiful things that we like, homesick, cranes, mountains. Huh? This is my kind of guy. Let my life take its voyage to its eternal home in one salutation to die. That is the aum. That is the surrender. That is what Jesus says, the last thing on the cross, thy will be done. That is his salutation to die. He relaxed. And what is it when that giving up, that salutation, that surrender, there is a relief. It is a total let go. There is no more fight. There is no more separation. I will go on a little more with that and life and all these things because it's so nice. So I will read to you. What Kahil Gibran says on that. You will know the secret of that. You would know the secret of that. But how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? How will you find that if you don't seek it in the heart of life? And that's where people are missing. They delay it and they haven't looked anything in the direction of that, and then suddenly you die. Because that always comes unexpectedly. And life goes very quick. Maybe when you're young you think you will live forever, but no, suddenly you're old and you die. He said you have to seek it in the midst of life. when you are alive, when you are intelligent. It's no separation. They go together. The owl, whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day, cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart. Open your heart wide into the body of life. You have to open up. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. This is, again, just hints how the mind is, how the humans are. They are always splitting. They are always divided. There is no oneness. And only out of oneness, totality, brings harmony. Otherwise, there is life and there is death. But only the narrow mind, who is stuck in the vision, in the opposite, can get lost in it. Because why? You say day and night too, but are they one? They are one. They are not two. Where can you put the line? That's why they have this magic hour, where the night goes into day and the day goes into night. Where can you put the line exactly then? No. They are together. They are harmonious. So is life and death. They are together. There is one. In the depth of your hopes and desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate to eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king, whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. This is the right trembling. It's not out of fear. It's out of awe. It's out of how am I worthy to this? To get this honor. Like the shepherd when he stands before the king, whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. You are so used to that the king is hitting you, that is telling you. You can't believe it, that no, he will kiss you. No, he will crown you. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling? That he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet is he not more mindful of his trembling? When you are more trembling, when you are more uncertain, then you become more aware. When there is more danger, you become more aware. Because people are so sleepy, they have so normal lives, 9 to 4, that they need something that wakes them up, that makes them a little uncertain, a little trembling. And that is what is happening with the Master. He has to shake you up, to make you awake, to wake you up, to make you a little trembling, so you go deeper than your ordinary self. That you get used to living in awareness, in the now, not dragging your whole past your whole burden with you. You're getting more conscious. When the shepherd is standing there in the palace with the king, do you think he thinks about his problems? No, he's totally there. He's totally in awe. He's brought back to the moment. Yet, is he not more mindful? Is he not more aware in his trembling? For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and melt into the sun? For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? This is so beautiful, you can almost not say it any more beautiful. For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and melt into the sun? And what is it to cease breathing but to free the breath from its restless ties, that it may rise and expand and seek God, reunite? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And that is why silence is so important. That's why it's so important for meditation, for coming back. Because only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. Only when you die will you live. Because only then will you see what is real and what is not. Your whole consciousness, your whole life will be available for what is essential. You don't waste energy and time and dreams on the unreal. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then only you shall begin to climb. So beautiful. When you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. Now the real journey comes. Like I said, there is an end to suffering, but there is no end to joy. There is an end to unconsciousness, to mind, but there is no end to consciousness. That is what he's saying. When you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then you shall truly dance. Because this is a different dance. May everybody die to the ego, to the burdens, to the past. So they can live in clarity, in joy, in peace. Then, Justine, you also say, I would also like to ask, where does my beautiful name come from? So meaningful to me, so precious, in love and profound gratitude, Justine. Where does it come from? It comes from where everything is comes from. It comes from me. Where does it come from? I don't know where it comes from. It happens. And ain't you lucky that it's so meaningful to you and so precious? You have a connection from where it comes from. Where it comes from. Where does this thing come from? And how does it happen? How did this happen? The more you open your eyes and your heart and your soul, the more in awe you will be. How did it happen? Then you will get more and more immersed in this. Where does it come from? How did it happen? Oh my God. These things you can ask if it's bad. So you don't do the same mistake. How did it happen? If it's blissful, is it so precious, then just be open. Where does it come from? But I give many different names. Where does it come from? I don't know where it comes from, but it comes. I never asked. It comes and it goes. And it's just names I get. Muslim names, Sufi names, Hindu names, Tibetan names, Japanese names, Chinese names even, Red Indian names. I give all kinds of names depending how does it come. I don't know. Where does it come from? It comes. But I see you, you know. So that's why you are in tune. You are. So then what's more in tune than more meaningful? More precious, the most precious. It depends how in tune you are. But this, Justine, it comes from India also, they can say that much. Most probably from maybe North India, something like that. Maybe some kind of. Yes. And that's what love is, that what the master is, that what silence is, that what meditation is, that is what that is, to be absorbed in that, to disappear into that. And then you are happy, you are blissful. See, if you get absorbed, if you surrender to the right thing, then you are happy. If you absorb into the bad things, then you are sad. That's how life is. Be careful what you surrender to, what you get absorbed in. Meditate on it. Beloved Baba, last Thursday I was giving a session, and suddenly when I was touching a shiatsu point in the back of a friend, I saw myself as a Japanese doctor who used shiatsu to treat people. This vision was so clear, so strong, so beautiful. This doctor was about 50 years old, wearing a white kimono. He was so peaceful and grounded, just totally there with his patients. This vision touched me so deeply that I cried for the rest of the session. After the session, we went for a silent sitting in the garden. When you arrived, I saw again this Japanese man. This time, he was training what seemed to be a loose style of karate with you, beloved. You had a different face then, of course, in Japan, with long hair, but I knew it was you. You were easily defending my strikes and sometimes throwing me down on the floor. Every time I fell, I just bowed down and listened to your guidance. You were teaching me about awareness, alertness, and how to use my chi. I felt such a deep Japanese respect for you, and it was infused with love. And when you did the namaste at the end of a satsang, I saw and felt this Japanese man again inside my chest, doing the namaste together with me. Now, we became one heart, respectfully loving you. And so many tears came. Thank you for finding me again. I offer these tears to you. Love, Ashish. That is how it sometimes goes, because we are not new here, and I've told you that the deeper you go and the closer you come, the more you will remember. And if you had a connection that was out of respect and gratitude and love, then that will lead you. That's why it's so important what we leave this world with. You had the most strong experience, the most beautiful in that life. So that imprint will guide you. That's why it's so important to be aware where you put your energy and what kind of people and situations you are together with. Because that will guide you not only in this life, but also in the future. If you have hatred, if you have jealousy, if you have anger for somebody, that can also lead you. That's why I just mentioned these Judases and people, and the master always have both kinds, because some people have jealousy. It's the imprint of anger, of hatred, of darkness, of competition that is guiding them. And then you have some that is guided by the silence, by the love, by the gratitude. What is the strongest imprint in your life? That is what will guide you in the future. So if you have this that was so deep the deepest thing that happened at that time in that life. You say you were easily defending my strikes and sometimes throwing me down to the floor. Every time I fell, I bowed down and listened to your guidance. Already you knew the art of listening. I felt such a deep Japanese respect for you, and it was infused with love. That is the only real respect, when it's infused with love. Because you can respect people, but it's out of other emotions, feelings. And what is more, this Japanese respect, because they are very beautiful in the way they show their respect, the Eastern way, how to be with the master, because they know whatever he does it to help you, to teach you. Be that in action, in words, in silence. And love, this respectful love, this gratitude is the strongest force. So it will always find back. It will always guide you. So now I can go on teaching you in the finer arts. Beloved, I wish to thank you for being so directly honest and at the same time doing it so compassionately, showing me the naked truth very clearly and sharply on many topics, but in such a grateful, loving, kind and playful manner, in love, trust and gratitude, with much joy, yours, Bhagat. That is one of the works, Bhagat, for a master. He has to be direct, because you are not. He has to be honest, because you are not. He has to be compassionate, because you are not. He has to show the naked truth very clearly on many, many topics, because you are confused. That's what the master is there. He has to go on and on and on. And it only goes in with love, in a loving, compassionate, graceful, playful manner. That is my way. Because you have been so serious, and you've been so hurt, and you've been so miserable. That is an art, so you don't close up, so you don't get more hurt. Some fools, they get, I'm honest with them, truthful, and they close down. The ego is so fat that it gets so hurt, even if you are truthful. And truth will shock you in the beginning. Honesty will shock you in the beginning, because you are not used to that. You're not used to people being clear. But remember, the Buddha said, the greatest gift is the gift of truth. That is a real friend who shows you. And if your heart is open, if you are in tune, if there is love, if there is surrender, then you will listen. And you will go beyond your little things. And you will start seeing clearly. And you will start being honest. And your whole life will change. What better gift than that? So this is the right outcome. You are grateful. And you have much joy. Then I'm happy. The medicine worked. You're feeling better. May everybody become healthy and happy and silent. Now we will start the silence also. So, relax more into yourself, be more sensitive, embrace the silence, and go deeper. Aum Shanti.